Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Good morning. This is Mama Seven. I hope everyone woke up in good spirit, in good energy, in a peaceful mind state, you know, had breakfast, had food in their cabinet to eat, had at least a little bit of sleep, or has the ability to go back to sleep, okay? But I hope this has been a wonderful morning for everybody. It has for me. And I know you're saying, well, why? Hit us, Mama Seven. Tell us what the deal is. The deal is God woke me up this morning. God woke me up this morning on the right side of my brain. You know, God took the time, and there's a lot of people he got to wake up, a lot of people. But God took the time to wake me up. God sent messengers and angels to watch over me as I slept and as I woke up this morning safely. I woke up in a safe place. I woke up in a loving place. I woke up fully aware of who I was and who God was and who God wanted me to be. So as you can see, it's been a great morning, a great morning. And I want to encourage everybody, let's say you just had a so-so morning, you know, the kids were too loud, the dog was barking, the old lady was pulling on the covers, you know, whatever the morning actually was, whatever got your attention, you know, whatever little frustrations you may have felt, imagine if you just took it and made it a good morning. You know, what if you looked around and you could see, well, you know, the kids are acting crazy, but they're healthy. I'm thankful for that. You know, if you could sit back and look and see, you know, Lord, I got house cleaning to do, but I'm thankful for the home that has been provided for me. You know, if you could look and see, you know, man, it's Sunday. I got to go back to that crazy job tomorrow. You know, can we be thankful for what the job does provide if all it provides is a paycheck? You know, can we be thankful for that? And a reason to get out of the house, can we be thankful for that? If it provides health benefits, can we be thankful for that? You know, and so it's like, you know, again, this life, there's so much of this life that we can actually control. So we need to start trying to control it. We control it. You do not let the media control your life, okay? Do not let the media sit here and tell you, oh, your life ain't this because you ain't that. Don't let the media convince you that, you know, unless you're driving a brand new car, have pretty sunglasses and a perfect size 8, that you can't have a good life, because that's still not the truth. Anytime you have someone else dictating what is happiness in your life, what is necessary in your life, then you're not going to be a happy camper. I can tell you that. Mm-mm. Even if this person is well-intended, you still have to be able to search for yourself what makes you happy. You still have to be able to demand this happiness for yourself. And there's going to come a time when you're going to have to demand it. There's going to be a person, I hate to tell you this, right thing. There's going to be a person who does not respect what makes you happy. There's going to be a person who says, I don't care what you call happiness, this is my happiness, and I need you to adhere to my happiness. What? No, 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 family. We have, and guess what? I'm sure couples go through this all the time. This is my interpretation of happiness. Well, this is my interpretation. They could be two totally different ideas and concepts. Even people's gods can have different interpretations. My God said it's okay for this. Well, my God says that's not okay. Who are we to say that one is over the other? This is why, even though we're in this life together, we are a collective in this understanding together, we are still supposed to be living individual lives, okay? I understand I am a part of humanity. You know, I want to think I'm a big part of humanity. But I know I still have individual responsibilities in this life. Mom Seven, I am responsible for my happiness. And even though the birds and the bees and the butterflies bring me such joy, whether they exist or not, I am still responsible for my happiness. Okay? And when you demand to be happy, as God has made us to be, we're supposed to find joy and pleasure in this life. This life is not about hardships. God didn't put that on us. We have to be cautious sometimes of some of the things that we put on ourselves. We're not beasts of burden. We have work to do. And you know, I love work. I'm never going to deny work, okay? But that's not all there is. There's still so much of a life that you can have. But you have to want it, and you got to go get it. Can't nobody want it for you. And if they do, that's not enough. I know for a fact. Lord, I have made this mistake. I have wanted something for somebody else more than what they wanted. And God kind of chuckled at me like, who are you? You can't want this for them. They got to want it. Oh, but God, I know if they were just thinking straight. No. They still have to want it for themselves. They still have to see the value for themselves. They still have to accept the responsibility and accountability that comes with wanting this thing. You can't want for people what they may not be able to mentally process. So even Mama, I didn't start off as Mama Seven. In fact, many of you knew me as Sister Seven, okay? I didn't start off Mama Seven. I did not. I had to grow into this. There were certain childish behaviors I had to leave behind as Sister Seven, okay? When I had a whole ceremony, I had other people creating Mama Seven, and I was accepting. And a big thing that changed me from Sister Seven to Mama Seven, because some people would be like, well, I don't see the difference, you know what I'm saying? The difference is the level of responsibility that I go before God. That's the difference. The difference is I have stated, and I will say always, the level of responsibility. You know, I have a list of everybody doing the fast. And when I make my prayers, I make prayers for this list of people that have sat here and said, I'm going to be part of this fast. I'm going to watch my mouth intentionally for 30 days. I'm going to watch, you know, the convenience, boy, let me tell you about the convenience of fast food. I talk about that cardboard food. I talk about it like a dog until I'm rushing in the morning. I'm like, oh, boy, you better grab a yogurt. We ain't going to make it, you know, because I can't just stop at McDonald's. I can't just stop at Chick-fil-A or whatever. I am insistent on giving up that. I'm insistent on controlling the energy that my food is prepared in. You know, this ain't just about I don't like McDonald's. McDonald's is a good friend to a single mother, okay? I think that's how McDonald's was created. You know, and if we go back to not having single mothers out here working, making take care of house, take care of kids, taking care of all this stuff, I bet you McDonald's will go out of business. Because once a woman realizes, man, my food tastes better than that, man, I'm paying $15 for what? Uh-uh. Now, we can go bring cooking back. And that's what I've been doing this whole so many days, 14 days. 14 days I've been cooking all of my meals. And, of course, it's wonderful. My body feels better. My wallet, my budget feels better. The food, of course, y'all know how I do. My food is delicious, okay? We wake up, we have coffee, we have tea, we have fresh potatoes, we got yogurt, we got whatever you want. So, you know, as we're going through this, in my prayer list for everybody, okay, This ain't no easy task. Evolution is the goal. You're supposed to be able to look at yourself now, where you are right now, and then look back at where you were last year and really kind of go through those things that were challenging you and troubling you last year. They shouldn't still be here. If you have last year troubles, then you're spinning wheels. This is about reaching up. This is about getting to our highest understanding. And so if you still focused on the biscuit, then we have to talk a little bit. And don't hesitate to call me. Don't hesitate to call your fast buddies. That's what we're here for. We're all here so that we can grow together. And when it comes to the fast buddies, for those that have done it before, of course, be patient with those that are first trying. I think I got this where everybody has a fast buddy that's new, and everyone has a fast buddy that's fasted before. And so trying to get everybody lined up, and Spirit did it was really, really strange with the fast buddies because everyone had a new person, you know, someone who they're not accustomed to reaching out to, you know, someone who they're like, hey, this is, you know, a whole new energy here that I'm learning. And I guess Spirit just needed it that way so that we could continue to grow and build with each other, you know. We can continue to have different ideas and understanding presented. Each of the wonderful approach angels has been placed here for a reason. Each one has a purpose. Each one is something for us to work on. Each one. So it was very interesting the way Spirit had worked that out, okay? So we are on our Sunday getting ready for our Monday, right? Getting ready to go back to work, most likely, back to school, back to our regularly scheduled life. I really would love for everybody to take a second. If they found something to do during the weekend that wasn't food-related or drinking-related, please don't hesitate to share. And you can even share things like bowling. When you take the emphasis off of the food and possibly the beer at the bowling alley, you realize, oh, I like bowling. You know, you may. There are things that you can do where you can just say, hey, I'm intentionally not going to do the food part. You know, I'm very interested in going to the movies this weekend. Hopefully I can get there. But the $15 bucket of popcorn, that's really not necessary. They make you want to think it's necessary. It's not. The candy that we bring in, you know, no, we're not bringing any candy in. We don't have. We can watch this movie and enjoy the movie without having our mouth eating something, you know. And so as we're going through this fast, I don't want everybody, you know, don't think you got to become a nun. That's not the purpose of the fast. Actually, the purpose of the fast is to show us how we can live in everyday life and still keep ourselves focused on God. You know, we're not, right now, we're not in a secluded community, meaning we live, eat, and breathe around people that don't have our same understanding. Sometimes that's good. Sometimes that makes it better. Sometimes it makes it more difficult. But no matter what it is, we're not alone. We have company around us. My mother used to always say, you know, you have to be aware of the presence of them. You know, and I knew who was us, and I knew who was them. And it wasn't even racial. You know, it was 100% them. Them are those that don't have spiritual understanding. And I remember having to be very cautious. There's certain things we didn't say. You know, we can't talk about Ebal. We can't sit back and laugh with the little children about this one catching the Holy Ghost and that one catching the Holy Ghost. And, you know, there were things that were off topic because we were in the presence of them, okay? And so we have to be aware that we are in the presence of them. So even as we're doing this fast and this devotion, we should be doing this fast and devotion with a smile. I am at work. I arrive in the parking lot at 6:30. and I don't leave until 5:30. I am in a very harsh environment, and they are looking at me, waiting for me to pop off and cut somebody out. They're waiting. I know they are. I can see them. Their eyes all big, and I'm sitting here like, I'll get right on that. You know, so that they're waiting to see how I'm representing those that fast. They're waiting to see how I represent people that wear those funny-looking beads around their neck every day. They're waiting to see how this is going to work, because they already have a list of reasons why this can't work. Right? Every single one of us is representing people that have made this level of dedication to God, each of us. So if you're not fasting, you're not on your deen, you on and off, it depends on what's popping for the day. You know, if my homies come through, I'm going with the homies, and that's how it's going to be, and I'll fast. I'll make up the fast on the back end. No, that's not the way it's supposed to be. God's not supposed to be convenient for your schedule, because God will take and wipe your schedule into the earth, okay? This is not dependent on if this cute guy asks me out, because if he asks me out, I don't want to tell him that we're going to have to leave about 7:30 to get to the restaurant about 8 to get our food after a certain hour. I don't want to have to explain, you know, why I can't order these drinks I'm looking for. You know, we're supposed to be getting a little lit and having fun, and I don't want to have to explain that there are times and moments in my life where I am working for God and I am sacrificing for God, and there are certain things about this life I don't partake in. We don't want to do that. So every time you step outside of the bounds of what you're representing, you're leaving yourself and others open to unnecessary question and ridicule. You see? So understand, when I keep calling us the leaders, I mean that. Because there are people that are looking to follow, but they got to see if you're going to be able to handle this. You know what I'm saying? Because if you can't handle it, I'm definitely not trying. They won't even try. They have to see it in you. They have to see the positive changes in you. If you are the grumpy old maid, you arguing and fussing with people, you doing this, why in the world would anybody want some of that? Why? But when they can see it oozing out of you, I have one young lady at work, she said, man, Mr. Abdullah, I'm going to tell you the truth. I can't wait to get old and I can learn how to talk like you. I was like, get old so you can talk like me? What does that mean? And she was like, man, you be cutting people up and slicing and dicing, and you get your point across, and you don't have to cut. You don't have to belittle people. And people actually think that you are helping them, and you up here slicing and dicing. I said, young lady, don't have nothing to do with being old. That takes practice. I know lots of old folks that'll cut you low with a tongue, you know what I'm saying? So I said, that's not an old thing. I have to practice that. I have to really have precision of language. And she was like, what is that? Is this some new effective listening technique? Is this some new therapeutic word that I missed because I just got licensed? What is precision of language? I've never heard that before. And I'm like, no, it's not in your DSM. This is a concept. And I explained it to her. And she was like, how long does it take to achieve that? I said, depends on the person. But understand, here, our spiritual word, our, a wonderful approach, it belongs to us, is now creeping into other areas where people are like, you know, I don't know about the spiritual thing. That precision of language is everything. I'm in a speaking profession. I need to know that. I need to know the power of my words. I need to know how to have precise words. You know, we can never miss an opportunity to speak and to share with people how we got this far, what we're doing. So don't ever forget that you are a representative, okay? You are a lot, most of the time, representing your race, your gender, your ideals and concepts, every word. And don't think people won't come back and, oh, you're this? Well, how does that work with that? How does this work with that? You know, and I'm not saying that you have to be get ready to debate and this, that. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that our actions have impact. Our words have impact. We can actually make things happen by choosing the right words, by choosing the right attitude, by insisting on our own positive good behavior. That's how we make things happen. So I don't know who needs to hear that, but understand that Monday morning, when you leave your house, it's on. People are waiting. They're watching. They're wanting. Okay? And, of course, we don't do this for the people, but we are the beacons of light. We're the beacons. We're the ones that tell people to come close or stay away. We are the beacons. So let's pay attention to that, right? All right. Spiritual auras and chakras. Love this. Right now, as the world is awakening to spirituality, a lot of people are coming forward learning about chakras. You know, I've seen quite a few people, you know, wearing the different gemstones that represent the chakras. And this is a word now that people are saying, you know, they're aware of, that it's almost like a beginning step. You know what I'm saying? And there are people that were getting the auras and chakras and meditation, still not embracing the idea and concept of God. So I'd be like, okay, keep evolving. It's okay. Keep going. Because there's something even bigger than chakras. And so, but this is a really, really good beginning science. It's so deep and, no. It is as deep as you allow it to be. It means as much as you allow it to mean. Okay. And I have to say that because there are some people, and this is in the book. I think this is one of the few topics that's in both books. So this is in the book. You can read. You can understand. You can begin to develop your chakras. It's important for us to understand. I think my biggest aspect that I got out of my chakra study was understanding the way energy flows through our body. Some of us have a clog. Some of our chakras are not open. They're not spinning. They're not, you know, they're stuck. We have a blockage. And so sometimes this chakra study is your life. You'll spend your entire life trying to understand how to unblock yourself. Okay? So let's continue that study, because if you are blocked, you know, you're not going to be able to get your energy to flow from the earth, and your energy won't be able to be as strong to reach the heavens. So understanding chakras and understanding you in those chakras is ever so important. You have to know where you are. You have to know who you are. And it's helpful to know those things to help. What is it saying? You know, depression slows down the chakras, you know, and it shows up in a physical form. So if we're having indigestion, we're having a blockage. So one thing about the study of chakras, it will show you emotionally what this chakra means, physically what this chakra means. It has been really, really, out of all the sciences, I would say it is the most well-studied, well-documented, easy to follow studies. This study, you don't have to read 4 and 5 books just to be able to confirm one fact. You know what I'm saying? This is very well documented. So spend some time thinking about the chakras, reading about them, understanding what they mean, and then learning how to feed your own, learning how to manage them. Okay? So I want to, because I keep forgetting, to get into the prayer part, and then at the last second, I'm, you know, we're running out of time. But, you know, for our prayers, understand that the prayers, you know, are the reason for the season, family. All that we're doing is for the prayers. The prayers help to get us kicked off, okay? The prayers are the obligation. Everything else we do is extra after that. Everything else we do is for our benefit, okay? Those prayers are obligatory. Give me if that's wrong. They're mandatory. The prayers are what we owe God because God has been good to us. And just like I started off the show with the gratitude, I can go through the whole entire list. God has been good to us. So if all we do is give God the praise and the glory, if all we do is take 2 minutes to pray, how does that equal all that God has done for us? It doesn't. But what it does do is it shows an intent. It shows a sincerity. It shows gratitude. So we can never, we can't go tit for tat for God. This is why I keep telling people, don't go tit for tat with God. Don't do tit for tat with your ancestors. You'll lose. You will lose that battle. Instead, just give. Just do. And hope that it's received with the good intentions that you're doing it in. Okay? All righty. So let me get into this prayer. The prayer is called Blessed Are Those. Oof. And day 14, family. You're almost halfway there. I love it. Okay. Blessed are those. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Princes have prosecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I hate and harbor lying. By thy law I do love. 7 times a day do I praise thee in all thy righteous judgment. Great peace have they which thy love, thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. My soul has kept thy testimony, and I love them exceedingly. Concepts in the testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. Let me cry, come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding to thy word. Let me supplicate before thee. Deliver me accordingly to thy word. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for thy commandments are righteous. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee. Let thy judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Amen.